You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Ian, look at this.
What, it's a police box. What on earth is he doing here? Well, these things are usually on the street. I feel it. Feel it, do you feel it?
It's a faint vibration.
It's alive.
Earth Station Who? A fun mashup celebrating nearly 50 years of Doctor Who universe. Hold tight. You never know where the TARDIS is going next.
Who are you?
I'm glad you asked that again. Bit of adrenaline, dash of outrage, and a hint of panic knitted my brain back together. I know exactly who I am. I'm the Doctor. Sorting out fair play throughout the universe. Now please, get off this planet. While you still have a choice.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Earth Station Who podcast. Yes, folks, the summer doldrums are already among us, and we've got so much time still ahead of us before new Doctor Who comes. So we got some great things to talk about, though, and we're keeping our spirits up. And we thought it'd be kind of fun to get into another Doctor Who discussion like we did a few weeks back. And it's always nice when we have some great crew members to join us in our discussions. Let's welcome our guests first. Let's welcome back to the show, Alan Seiler.
How's it going?
Good, sir. Great to have you here.
Absolutely wonderful to be here. I always enjoy it.
Well, it's always nice when you're here, like not in official capacity type thing and, you know, promoting and stuff like that. Cause it's more, hate to say it, you let your hair down and relax and everything.
Huh. Well, I was not aware of that being the case.
Well, you know,
I'll keep it in mind.
It is. It's, especially with you laying your hair out and everything like that.
So uh-huh.
It's even better. And we also have a fellow podcaster from the ESO Network, from the Watchathon of Rassilon. It's Joseph Heath. Welcome, sir.
Hello.
Yeah, we tried getting your other half on, too. And, you know, she's off doing her skating thing.
Yeah, she's a roller derby person. So just got to get her training in.
But it's good to have you here, too. So it's It's always good. So, of course, let's thank everybody at home for being here joining us, and let's welcome our regulars onto the show. Let's first welcome Mary Ogle.
Hi, everybody. It is great to be here.
It's always good to have you, Mary. And of course, Mr. Howdy himself, Mike Gordon.
Howdy.
How's everything going, sir?
Fine. You know, all this talk about letting your hair down, just be careful, because I let my hair down once and it didn't come back.
That's so true. That is so true.
That explains so much.
Yeah, it does. But let's not get into that tonight. So tonight's discussion, folks, we're going to be talking all about, we are going to look at, you know, does Doctor Who really need monsters in their stories? You know, a lot of people, you know, there's doctors out there who even are known as the monster doctors. So it's just interesting. Some stories, you know, there's true historical ones, especially in the early years of Doctor Who. But later, as they did maybe some more historicals, they had to throw a monster in or a time villain or something like that just to make it more science fiction-y. You know, it'll get into that discussion and we won't go that into it yet. So, but I think it's going to be real interesting to talk about. Of course, we want to hear from feedback from you guys at home. Please write us at eswpodcast@gmail.com. Yes, I promised last time that we're going to have a new email address coming soon. I promise. Just have to find 2 seconds to breathe. You know, silly thing like that. But we definitely want to hear from you guys. So eswpodcast@gmail.com for right now. And of course, call us if you want at 404-963-9057. All right, we do got some Doctor Who news to talk about. First of all, our friends over at BBC, they are, for especially us North America fans, are re-releasing via the BBC shop on June 25th some of the episodes that have been missing from Doctor Who, you know, are out of print, and you have to pay a ton of money to find a copy of it, either on Amazon or on eBay or such. There's the Time Meddlers, the Crotons, the Three Doctors Special Edition, Planet of Spiders, and the Sunmakers. There's a couple that I don't have. I think the Time Meddler especially. So it's going to be fun ordering that and looking forward to doing that. It's kind of neat that they're doing that. From what I hear, it's going to be on-demand printing of the DVDs. They're not doing it in mass. So it should be interesting to do. I know, Mikey, you have BritBox. Do you think that's all these are up there already, or is this stuff that they don't even have?
I don't know. I'd have to look. You know, I was really shocked, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, that they didn't have Moonbase on BritBox available. So, and I don't know if that's one that's been out of print. But actually, getting the DVD from Amazon was pretty easy. So, it didn't cost a lot. So usually the out-of-print ones are the ones that are like, you go to Amazon and it's like $400. And you're like, no.
Well, Moonbase is one of the incomplete ones, right? So BritBox doesn't have any of the incomplete ones.
Yes, they do. They do have ones with animation. In fact, they have the story, the first Second Doctor story.
Available. Yeah, but that was a new release, though. Power of the Daleks?
Yeah. I think, yes, they do.
But so, Moonbase wasn't ever animated, though, was it?
Yes, it was.
Yes. Yeah.
Episode 1 and 3 were animated, and 2 and 4 were the only ones that were available.
Okay.
Trust us, yeah, we had to sit through it last time, so we know.
Okay.
But I haven't checked to see if, the Terror is available, because maybe it has something to do with the licensing of some of the animated companies that they worked with. I don't know. But in any case, I haven't been able to figure out a rhyme or reason for what's available and what's not available on BritBox. So whereas I was really hoping to use it to just, it would take care of all my classic Who needs, sometimes it fails me.
Oh yeah. Especially when you need it for an episode that we're doing or something.
Yeah.
Of course. Isn't that always the case? But it should be a lot of fun to catch up on some of these. I'm really looking forward. I've never seen The Time Meddler, so I'm looking forward to seeing The Monk.
Oh, wow. You're in for a treat on that one.
I wish they would put, like, I think they're on to something with the, even though they're releasing the whole way that they release stuff is just bizarre. And I think a lot of people, like in this day and age, people want like complete seasons. They want to binge. They want everything that you can get. And so it's really like these one-off DVD releases of these stories to me seem like that's kind of old hat. Like I thought they were really starting to get it when they started releasing the Fourth Doctor, the first season. Of course, then they skipped right ahead to the last season. And then the first season of, I think, the Fifth Doctor that they've, and I think they've got a season of the Third Doctor, right?
Yeah, season 10 is in the works. They've released cover art for that.
I think that's what a lot of, fans, and I think a lot of people would want, is just these, like, put everything in that you can into one season, in one box set, so you can just buy it and you don't have to worry about, getting a bunch of DVDs and having a huge shelf space, a need for that and all that kind of stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if they just said, here's the Second Doctor, like everything that the second, because you really, you could do one box set with the First Doctor, one box set with the Second Doctor, and you'd pretty much be covered, and you'd be like, okay, mm-hmm. I would buy that in a heartbeat.
Well, yeah, but if you think about it, though, almost like something like War Games alone would be one disc there, because that's 10 episodes. So, it would be interesting to see them do it. I would love them to go through and try to, restore a lot of the older ones into more of like for Blu-ray and such, and tighten them up. Maybe restore the black and white and the sound. Because some of the sound was really bad, especially in something like The Underwater Menace and such. It was really tough sometimes to understand what was going on.
Yeah, it was really bad in Underwater Menace, because especially in the places where you could hear what was going on.
True. Good point.
When you can hear that dialogue, you know something's bad.
Well, isn't that usually just a dialogue with Ben and Polly?
Poor Ben and Polly, we've been ragging on them for the last three
episodes. I would not sign up for the Ben and Polly.
Yeah.
So that seems what they're wanting to do, because that's what all the animations have been lately. I mean, They just did the Macro Terror, and now they're going to be doing the faceless ones, which, to be fair, Ben and Polly are kind of in it.
Yeah, barely.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as long as they've got the digital models, you know, it's easier to do one that has those characters than one that has so, you know, they haven't done any First Doctor ones yet, but they would have to start completely from scratch to do those because they don't have any character models for any of those.
Just so use Troughton.
Yeah.
Just animate the First Doctor ones with Troughton. Just Hartnell's voice, Troughton's body.
No one will notice.
there are First Doctor stories that have animation, but I guess it's with a different company.
Yeah, right? I mean, the current crew that are doing these ones haven't done any Hartnells yet.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Well, also, wasn't there, they could do like they did with the old, TV comic, where they would reuse First Doctor comics, but they just like paste like Pertwee's face over it and stuff like
that. Wow.
Yeah, so
faceless ones. Yeah, tell us about the faceless ones coming.
The teaser trailer came out just today, and it was really kind of exciting because I don't think there had been any word up till then that faceless ones or even what the next animated project would be. So Faceless Ones is kind of exciting because it's an early Jamie one. You know, they talked about not ever, at least not anytime soon, doing Jamie's first story, The Highlanders, because there's a huge cast. So there's a lot of characters they would have to animate, and all the characters wear tartan patterns, and that's really hard to animate. So Faceless Ones is the earliest, I guess the earliest Jamie one that we'll have.
Is that the one right after Highlanders?
That's the one, where Ben and Polly leave. Jamie is there at that point, and they almost add another companion, Samantha, who the actress decided she didn't want to stick around, so they didn't have her after all.
Okay, because we've gotten other Jamie ones already, you know, the Marco Terror and also...
Yeah.
The moon base have Jamie in it also.
That's true.
So and I'm not trying to contradict or anything.
No. Well, that's right. I was forgetting about that.
Yeah. I tried to forget those too. So it's
okay. No, why? They're good.
Cause it's Underwater, just Ben, it's Ben. Underwater Menace, you know, has them also. And that was just bad. That was really, really bad.
Yeah. It is one of the not great ones.
Oh, I love the Underwater Menace. Am I alone in this?
No, I like it a lot.
It's got that goofy sense of humor about it that I love. So
yeah, I love Troughton in it. Like Troughton's performance in that one, I'd rather watch that than his performance in Moonbase.
Yeah, what's great about Troughton in that one is that he's like underplaying the humor because Zaroff is going so overboard that they nicely balance each other out because he's so calm and like, why do you want to end the world?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite Doctor moments ever is when he's like, why do you want to blow up the earth? Like, it's just so awesome.
Yeah, I love that one. Faceless ones I don't really remember much about. I know there's Great Metal Beasties and Ben and Polly are kind of there. And then that's about all I remember.
And then they're not. And
kind of not. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yes. That's cool. So, awesome. When did they say Faceless One is coming out?
I don't know. Was there? It just says 2020. So, it doesn't say when exactly.
Okay. But next year.
Yeah.
December 2020.
Exactly. And that'll be the UK, and so then the US will get in 2021 or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not like we want stuff like this, you know, or, you know, dying for it and hoping for it. You know.
It's not like they can't take advantage of the fact that, like, there's no new Who, so, like, people are hungry for this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I really, like I said, I just don't understand their marketing and their plans for any of this stuff because it just seems like they're losing pounds. You know what I mean?
It like, just seems like they're asking people to pirate it. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why there was a 6 or whatever month gap there was between the Macro Terror coming out in the UK and in the US. It just doesn't make any sense.
No, not in this day and age.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not like one's on Sci-Fi and one's on BBC, you know, something like that, like it used to be. The good old days. Well, no, not the good old days. Nope, nope, nope. But it's cool. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward, and once it comes out, we'll review it up here on Earth Station Who. So that is it for news right now. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back in a moment and for our main discussion.
Did you know the ESO Network has a brand new Patreon? That's right. We're asking for your help, and you could do it for as little as a dollar a month. Don't fret. All your favorite shows will still be available for free as always, but now you can get exclusive podcasts and more not heard anywhere else but on our Patreon. To sign up for the ESO Network Patreon's easy. All you have to do is click on the link on the top navigation of the ESO Network website or go to patreon.com/ESO Network. With your support of the ESO Network, it's you who will reap the rewards.
All right, tonight's topic, does Doctor Who need a monster? And, you know, let's jump in with both feet. What we've started talking about, what brought this up, was back when, this last season even, with the Demons of Punjab, when they did, you know, had to have monsters in it. I think they could have easily done that whole story without any kind of creature in it. And there's other episodes with, you know, with some of the storytelling they do, Doctor Who writes so rich of a story that, you know, sometimes it almost feels like they have to throw a monster in as second thought. You know, like, oh, we have to have a Dalek here, or let's have an alien spaceship on top of this apartment, you know, or something like that.
Vincent the Doctor is the worst case for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just talked about that because we just reviewed that one. And I think that's another reason why this came up as well, because we were like, man, it just seems like this monster thing is shoehorned in.
Yeah, it didn't need to be there at all. It was a beautiful story. There wasn't any need for it. Just the Doctor meeting Vincent and the way they interacted was enough. I mean, you know, it's okay to do a historical sometimes. Doctor Who, really, it is.
Well, that's what
my favorite First Doctor serial is, The Myth Makers. So, you know, no monsters in that one.
Well, exactly. Or what was it, you know, when they did, you know, just recently, you know, when they've done different stories with Doctor Who, and the monsters are like almost like second thought, just to, oh, this is a sci-fi show. Let's throw this in.
Well, they're just shoehorned in. I mean, if you're going to have a monster, I love the monsters, don't get me wrong, but make them integral to the plot and have them do something. Don't just have them be there.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's something to, like, look, just because something's not done well doesn't mean that it shouldn't be done. You know, I mean, just because, you know, on some episodes it's like, oh, the monster part of it is kind of lame. That doesn't mean that, you know, they shouldn't up their game and, like, not have monsters at all and stuff. I mean, I think, I don't know when, now, so you guys probably know this a lot better than I do, because I know that, you know, for the First Doctor, certainly, and I think even the Second Doctor, like, there wasn't this mandate that there had to be monsters or alien menaces in every story.
No, not at all.
Because I think we've seen some stories where they didn't have anything like that. But then at some point, I don't know, was it the Third Doctor? Like, I'm struggling to think of too many stories after, like, the Third Doctor that don't have, like, a monster as part of the story or a sci-fi element of some kind.
It really kind of started with the Second Doctor. He was the one that really became... Everyone was monstery, especially in season 5, where they had Ice Warriors and Cybermen and Yeti in pretty much every story. But before that, you know, the Hartnell era was much heavier on historicals than pretty much any other time on the show. And the what they did basically was pure historicals. They didn't have to have an alien presence to make it a compelling story. Now that creeped into it, you know, because like when you get up to things like the Time Meddler, you know, there it's a historical setting, but it's not a pure historical.
I think the second Doctor only has two pure historicals, right? Highlanders and what is it? The Pirates one. I forget the name of. Smugglers. The Smugglers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But everything else is monsters. So Troughton is really where the monster show starts.
And yeah, I could see that. There are compelling dramas in the first Doctor era. Things like the Aztecs, I think, is very compelling. Mm-hmm. Even Reign of Terror, where the monsters are us. You know, like, so, yeah. And I think certainly it could be said that in cases like Vincent and the Doctor, as well as Rosa, like putting that sci-fi element just really didn't work. Now, does that mean it shouldn't have been there at all, or should it have been done better?
Well, it could have worked with the story if they had just interwoven it, given the guy something to do, because he wasn't driving the plot. They weren't even really reacting with him.
Yeah, and so exactly. Not really. It was more like he was setting up roadblocks to keep them from accomplishing their goal, but you didn't. It wasn't really terribly interactive. Mm-hmm. It was just the main cast saying, "Oh gosh, he's gone and changed the bus routes. We've got to figure something out," which was nice, but sure. I mean, it just doesn't. It didn't seem like he was necessary, other than
the evil traffic controller, basically.
he became a plot device, not a character.
Right, and but when we're talking about does Doctor Who need monsters, I think that it always needs at least something monstrous, you know? And in the case of Rosa, the thing that was monstrous was prejudice. So prejudice is the monster of that story, and Krasko was the personification of it. To me, though, it just seemed very unlikely that he's from the 50th or 70 whatever-th century, and he's still so prejudiced against black people that he has to go back in time to, you know, keep Rosa from getting on. It just didn't make any sense to me.
No, I agree with that, Alan. It completely. The story just didn't do it, and the character itself and how he tied into it was just ridiculous. It was like they almost tried making him a Captain Jack type character, and it didn't work at all.
And it could have, you know, because sort of the point of the episode is that we have to keep history on track, even though that means watching something completely horrendous take place. The horrendous thing has to take place for everything else that comes after it, for decades after it. So that guy is sort of like, he's the thing that is causing, you know, there had to be something, some impetus for that, for the basis mm-hmm. of the story. It just, I don't know. He just wasn't very convincing to me.
I'm willing to chalk that all up to Chibnall personally, but that being said, I do think Chibnall did one of the best episodes of Torchwood that doesn't have a monster in it, and that's the whole
countryside.
God, yeah, that's a good episode. It is, and once again, were the monsters in it?
Yeah. It doesn't always have to be some sort of sci-fi explanation. Sometimes it can just be people suck. So,
yeah,
right. Well, one of my favorite episodes of the Tennant era is Midnight.
Oh, without a doubt, that's a brilliant episode.
It is, and it's a psychological episode. Exactly. I mean, they're basically psyching each other out.
Exactly.
And it's fascinating to watch.
Yeah. It also goes to show that not only does Doctor Who not always need monsters, it doesn't always need big, expensive, flashy special effects. Because most of that episode was done with just the characters holding flashlights.
Yes.
In a one-room set.
Yeah, it's very contained.
Absolutely.
And that claustrophobia really adds to it.
Sometimes you just need Peter Capaldi in a castle. That's all you need.
Well, Well, that is very true, but sometimes all you ever need is Peter Capaldi.
Also fair.
No, very much so. And that's kind of interesting because looking at it until, you know, fairly recently, for a true historical episode, they have to go all the way back to Highlanders. And
well, Black Orchid.
Yeah,
Black Orchid.
But Black Orchid, that had a monster.
No, not really. It was a person.
As a person. Come on.
Well, yeah, it depends on what your definition of monster is.
And maybe that's where we should have started. How do we define what a monster is?
Because I would say that a human can still be a monster.
Oh, God, yes.
In my case, like, you've got, what, Nero? And that counts too, I guess, as a monster.
I mean, you need some sort of conflict. I mean, and it doesn't have to, I mean, it can be very intimate conflict, or it can be like big planets battling conflict. I'm not saying that you don't need that, but I think sometimes, I think it's not so much that whether Doctor Who has to have a monster to be Doctor Who, but whether the writers think that they need to shoehorn something into their stories in order for it to be called Doctor Who. And I don't think that's true. I think that's a constraint. I don't know if they're putting it on themselves or if the showrunners are telling them that. But I think, you know, we can get out of that box and still have good episodes.
Yeah.
Yes. But you still need something monstrous or something sci-fi-ish, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean,
because otherwise you'll just be like CSI Miami or whatever.
Yes. Oh, God. No. I mean, yes, of course, you have to have some sort of, you know, absurdist element or, you know, something that. But I think maybe the argument is that it's not the monsters that make Doctor Who, Doctor Who. I mean, they're a part of it. I think it's the sensibility. I think Doctor Who is very absurdist and very, there's a lot of subtext in it. And yes, it uses a lot of myth and allegory, and that's what makes it Doctor Who. You know, not necessarily the, it doesn't have to be a person from another planet, you know, it doesn't, or another dimension, or somebody in a rubber suit, or it can be human, as we've just talked about. It can be nothing seen, like in Midnight.
That's true, but I will say that humans are far less fun than monsters.
And I think also, I mean, it's easy to see why, you know, that it was from very early on. I mean, we look at the second Doctor era as really, even though the Hartnell era was the beginning, it was the second Doctor era that really set the template for a lot of stuff to come that they're still even doing now. And looking at it, okay, so you got Doctor Who, you could argue that Doctor Who might not even have made it like past the first season if it wasn't for the Daleks, right?
Oh yeah.
So
of course.
So, and the Daleks, like Dalek mania was running wild, brother. It's easy to see that.
Mike, don't do that again. Please don't do that again.
Okay, you just have to pay me. I'll give you my PayPal account, and then we'll get that straight. I think though it's easy to see that the studio and the producers were like, okay, well, this obviously is a hit. Monsters are a hit, so let's get more of those, right? You know, frequently people talk about, what do you like about Doctor Who? Well, I liked watching it and then hiding behind the sofa as a kid, you know? So like, if there's no monsters, there's nothing to hide behind the sofa for. So it's easy to see why they would get into that mindset where we need some sort of sci-fi element, some sort of monster element, even a drop of horror to make it Doctor Who. However, I would argue that the minute you start creating a template for what is a Doctor Who story, like you've set a limit that should not be there.
Agreed. Yes.
Agreed.
That's what I was trying
of course.
To say. Yes. You just said it a lot. You just said it a lot better than I did.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's, what's the biggest problem with Vincent, like we were talking about Vincent and the Doctor, like that one, I don't think needed a monster, human or otherwise. Like the, I mean, I guess the monster was depression, but like, it doesn't have to be like some physical bad guy. It can be talking about something, you know, and it would still be a very compelling episode. It, Doctor Who can do anything, and it should, and it shouldn't feel obligated to do certain things because it is capable of doing everything.
Yeah, or there, you know, if you're going to add a monster to something like that, then make them part of the story, not something that feels like it's just tacked mm-hmm. on. You have to embed the monster within the story. And that's, you know, in a lot of these episodes, that's especially this season, that just was not happening. They were just sort of, you know, off to the side somewhere.
Well, yeah, they were sort of presented at the beginning of the episode as a monster. And then halfway through the episode, you find out they are not the monster.
Right.
Like in mm-hmm. like the Thajarians in Punjab, they were certainly monstrous at the beginning. But then you learn, we used to be monsters, but now we are good guys and we do nice things for people who are about to die. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of have, so they're kind of not necessarily shoehorned, but they kind of undermine themselves. They're presented as one thing and they turned out to be something completely different, which is fine. It's a nice trick to pull. But when you do it for half of the stories in your season, then it becomes like, okay, so there's an alien here. I'll bet you that alien is not going to be the bad guy.
Right. I also think
you kind of come to expect.
I also think this season has had a real problem of separating the sort of sci-fi plot from the like companions doctor plot. Like if they have any sort of arc things going on, it generally has nothing to do with the episode going on. Especially like in the Dalek episode, I felt like I was watching two different shows. Like you'd have the Dalek show and then you'd have like, you know, I'm blanking on his name. Ryan
and yeah. Aaron.
Ryan is like the dad plot. Like, and yeah. It's tied in at the end a little bit, but like, it should have been thematically there. Like those two things should have been thematically tied together the whole episode. And it just, they were just separated. Cause I don't feel like Chibnall cares as much about one plot than the other, so he's just writing them separately and not combining them like it should be.
I do think some of the best stories are where there's a combination, there's a balance, right? There's mm-hmm. something that's happening, maybe historical or even, you know, in the future, that is an engaging story in and of itself, and then you add, you know, a science fiction or monster element. I mean, it just as easily, instead of talking about monsters, we could be talking about time travel. Although certainly early on, you know, the time travel is just an excuse to get the Doctor and his companion to one place mm-hmm. and then to have them leave. There's not really an element of time travel in a lot of the Doctor Who stories, especially in the classic era. Like, you can only count with one hand, like really, like with one hand, like all the one. And then, you know, later with New Who, and certainly in the Moffat era, it becomes like a big thing where it's like, it's almost in every episode.
Yeah.
No, very
but
true.
Whether or not it's necessary, you know, that's why I'm like, you know, I like the fact that, you know, anytime you do something where it's going to be like, like if you're doing it a lot, then people are going to get tired of it. And I think the beauty of Doctor Who is that you have this device that you can tell any kind of story that you want to. So why would you put any restrictions on?
No, true enough. But, you know, it's like, I almost like the stories where they pull the rug out from under you. You think one, like the monster is the monster, like the demons episode. And it basically shows you, wait a minute, that's not the demon, the monsters. And everything. And
yep.
It's not, you can't take everything on face value. And that's some of the best stuff about it.
Sure. But, you know, at least half of the most recent season, the quote unquote monster was ideological. It was a prejudice or a mindset or something. And, mm-hmm. you know, I just don't think you can pull that trick too many times in one season and it still have the impact that you want it to have.
True.
I'm just really worried because, like, I watched Elementary for a few seasons, and I loved the characters on that show. And like but all of the character growth was relegated to certain scenes and never tied into like whatever the case of the week was, which was always, oh, I'm sorry for cursing. But like,
gee, now always, I've got to edit. Damn it.
But it's always a murder. And like, and it's always like, I would start tuning out the like murder of the week story because it was always the same thing. And never connected to anything else in the episode. And then I tuned back in when the character stuff was happening. And I don't want that to happen to Doctor Who, and I'm afraid it's going to, where like, oh, there's alien fight scenes happening, I don't care. And then tuning back in when like character stuff is happening. So, which the character stuff is this season has been kind of wobbly for me anyway, but it still is also separate, I feel like, from the episodes themselves.
Well, this, I mean, that's one of the problems I had with Chibnall's writing from the beginning. I think he has trouble with the format, with the pacing. And so he doesn't get, he doesn't get things done in time. And so they tend to then become disconnected. And maybe there's an idea in his head where it all works together, but we don't see it.
Can
on
we
the
just
screen.
All say it and that Graham was the monster of the season? No.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, I think Chibnall was the monster.
Oh, wow. All right, I rephrase my. I agree.
The old white guy. So, like, I think Graham's an interesting character, and that's because he's the only one people are writing for. That's my big issue.
Well, yeah, he became the main character.
But I think he does care more about like I don't know. I feel like he has more of a handle on maybe like the sort of low stakes character, or not low stakes, but like the character dynamics and stuff. Then he's more interested in that than like the monsters. But I know we're arguing maybe we don't need monsters, but he does seem to put the monsters in as an afterthought. He's like, I don't know, and then Doctor Who stuff happens. But he more prefers doing the like sort of smaller scenes with just.
Yeah, I think if you're gonna, yeah, that's a good point too. If you're going to use monsters, then you need to respect and make the monsters something that people are gonna, you know, remember.
Well, I think you need to make the monster a character, and that's not happening. The monster is just there to explain the plot or to be a convenient plot device, but they are not embedded within the story. We don't know anything about their backgrounds. We don't get to know them. You know, a monster is much more monstrous when you know something about them, when you maybe even sympathize with them a little. That actually makes them more horrifying, not less. You can't make them cardboard and make them interesting. You know, that to me is what's happening with the monsters. So I'm not arguing against monsters. I am arguing against monsters that don't make sense.
No, I agree with that. But especially like this last season, I wasn't scared by any of the monsters until the Dalek episode. They actually made the Dalek scary again. And I didn't feel I'm not even saying it's Chibnall. I thought even over probably since Dalek, I haven't found the Dalek scary at all. Or, you know, like, oh crap, what a power, you know, type thing. This was the first time in a long, long time I was like, these are a force to be reckoned with type thing. And that's what I want from my monsters. If they're going to be in a story, I want them to be, oh crap, type things.
Yeah, that's the way I felt about the Cybermen in the Peter Capaldi story.
Oh, exactly.
Into the Cybermen.
Yeah.
Those Cybermen were terrifying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was one of the most atmospheric episodes that the new series has ever done.
Oh, yeah, very much so. And they redeemed the Master in that story, too.
That's true. That's true.
He wore a mask of his own face, and I loved it.
Yeah, and used a silly accent just like Anthony mm-hmm. Ainley used to do.
Exactly. And it was just like, it felt like, oh, they brought him back to where he was during the Third Doctor era. You know? Mm-hmm. And half the plots the Master did during that era didn't make a load of sense. And once again, this is what happened here.
Well, it does seem like there does seem to be a sort of rite of passage that if you're playing the Doctor, you're not really the Doctor unless you face the Daleks at least once.
Right, right. It's a rite of passage kind of.
You know, I think they all have except for Eight, right? And then I think maybe in Big Finish he probably has, right?
One.
Oh, he has numerous times.
Gotcha. Well, aren't there Daleks right at the beginning? Well, I guess it's not with Eight at the beginning of Eight. Maybe it's with Seven.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. Never mind.
So Eight is the only one that didn't do it on screen.
I'd also argue that the Third Doctor never had a good Dalek serial.
Well, that's a different argument.
That's a different one, no.
That's a whole different thing.
I would definitely disagree with that because I think Day of the Daleks is phenomenal.
Can't stand it. Sorry.
Oh my God, we cannot be friends anymore. I had such respect for you.
Gone, just like that.
Gone.
I tell you, Mike, these kind of discussions just tear friendships apart, man.
This is not the first friendship that has ended on this podcast. So,
you homewrecker, you
thought we were safe talking about monsters instead of, you know, the whole like gender thing like we did last time, but nope. When it comes to Doctor Who fandom, there's battle lines, man.
That's true.
That is true. Outside of the Daleks, well, and we all can agree, even though that, yeah, it's kind of cool when a Doctor faces them for the first time. Sometimes it's not always great. And sometimes we can also say the Daleks are overused. Mm-hmm. Is there another monster, another alien race or whatever that you feel like the Doctor should have to face at some point?
Oh, the Quarks.
Oh, wow. Nice. This is deteriorating. Wow.
I mean, you were
on that.
You were quick with that one, weren't you?
Quarks, right up.
Quarks, Chumblies, and the original fuzzy chicken nugget Yetis. So.
Oh, that's good.
Maybe bring back the Zarbi and the...
I would love to see that. I would love to see another visit to the Monoptera planet, to the web planet. Because I would love to see what can be done with that. I mean, that's a serial that should never have been attempted on a 1964 BBC budget and time constraint. And they were incredibly daring to do that.
That's the nicest
way. And I think it's amazing. I love it. But so I would love to see some modern Zarbi and Monoptera. That'd be amazing.
And what was the other one? The Optera. That was the other one, right?
Yeah. The little grub dudes who talk like this.
No, it's interesting. I don't know, Mike, with your question. You know, it's always been the Daleks. You know, I don't think. Yep.
And the Cybermen.
Secondary Cybermen.
And I think we can count the Master in there, right?
Oh, yeah.
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 Different iterations of the Master, sure. So, that's a good.
That seems to be the
three.
Yeah.
I know what monster I would not want to come back. Oh, and that's the eye boogers. They can just that episode can just not exist as far as I'm concerned.
Wow. Yeah. That episode had so much potential.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to have a sequel the following season.
Yeah, I wonder why that didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean it was a planned thing. That's why it kind of ended on a cliffhanger like it did. because they were going to revisit that the following season. But somehow, for some reason, that got
banned. I wonder why.
And he did the Ice Warrior episode instead.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Ice Warriors could come back.
I love the last Ice Warrior story they did.
The Zygons.
Zygons are always fun, but they have to be done right.
Correct. Like they were in Capaldi.
I think they were awesome.
Yes.
I would say that I would love to see the Sea Devils. I'm not a big fan of the modern Silurians, but I wouldn't mind a good Sea Devil comeback. And I really want to see another Santarin storyline, but where the Santarins aren't the butt of the joke and the comic relief of the episode, like Strax. I want to see
let's make him a threat again.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I thought the David Tennant two-parter, the Santarin two-parter, was fantastic. And I want to see another one of those.
Yeah, because those early, especially the fourth Doctor ones, his first like season or two where he's faced off against the Santarins are like, they're formidable there. And I could stand to see them again like that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, Santarins is bad guys. Definitely.
Well, and this is an episode that I just watched and Mike was on the Mike Gordon, I should specify, was on the Watchathon of Rassilon talking about, there is a character who is like, we will meet again and fight, and then just dives into the water. And androids of Terra, like he should come back. Revenge should be served.
I've been waiting for you all these years, Doctor.
I'm surprised Big Finish hasn't jumped on that, or it didn't jump on that. Because I mean, the actor—I don't know if he's still around, but he was he lived a pretty long life, so.
Hmm.
He could have come back, and that wasn't his first. I mean, I've seen two stories with you with that actor, like in the same month.
That one is McAteer, right?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. I do not ever want to see Tim Shaw ever again.
Oh, he was useless. Oh, no. I mean, the one actual monster they had this past season, and he was just stupid.
Yeah.
He was lame. Yeah. Just we saw him two times too many. Just
right.
Dumb.
Mm-hmm. And he lost his bite also in the final. You know, it was just horrible.
Wow.
I know this isn't really another monster, but I'd like to see him go back to the Land of Fiction. I think that would be fun. Because that's one of my favorite serials, the Mind Robber.
Oh, I know. The one with the metal kippahs. It's awesome. You know, the yarmulkes. It's just awesome. And that was that was a mess.
Casting Jamie for an episode. That's amazing.
Do you think that part of it, part of what was happening this season, was that it was a very earthbound season? And that made it harder for the writers to figure out how to use the monsters?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I think it seemed earthbound only because it was so heavy on historicals, which is not something we've had in quite a long time. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, not counting the New Year's Day special, you've got 10 episodes and kind of almost half of them were historicals. And that's very, very unusual, especially for the new series. So maybe they just felt like, I don't know, they had to find some way to have a monster.
Another sort of shift with New Who anyway from regarding the monsters has been one of the things that New Who in particular Moffat really instilled was to take something ordinary, something everyday and make it terrifying. I mean, before Moffat, the Autons, bringing them back kind of does that, you know. And then, of course, you know, Moffat has a bunch of, most notably Blink, of course. But, you know, some of that was more successful than others. But that doesn't seem to be the case of this new era, this new run that we're in with Chibnall.
I mean, I think that definitely was a Moffat thing. It wasn't, you know, I think it was just like, you know, Robert Holmes did kind of the same thing back in the 70s. It's just kind of how they tune into the otherworldliness of, you know, the things that make Doctor Who. So, yeah, I do think that that was because even the ones that happened in the Russell T. Davies era were ones that were written by Moffat. I think the only one that he did that I really wasn't a big fan of that I didn't think was terribly successful was when he tried. And it was a great idea trying to make Wi-Fi monsters, but I just didn't think that Bells of St. John was a terribly successful episode.
No, I was just looking the first series of like the of the new Doctor Who, the ninth Doctor. Most of those are Earthbound too, and I don't think that caused much of a problem.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was heavily Earth, mostly so they could reuse settings and to keep the cost down.
Makes sense because they what they used that space station what four times. So right there, you know, there's one set they just used over and over again. Oh, it's 1,000 years later, you know, that type of thing. But it's the same place.
And yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, but, you know, I hope we never ever see, you know, those farting monsters ever again.
Yeah.
Oh, God. William was perfect at that age because he wanted to keep on watching that. Oh, they're back on Sarah Jane, Dad.
It's like, what about the Absorbaloff?
No.
Never.
No.
It's funny, though, when we were talking about monsters, you know, that could or should come back, we only really talked about classic monsters. And particularly classic ones that have had a strong new series presence. What about monsters that originated in the new series? I would love to see another really good Ood episode.
I would too. I would also like to see a really good Angel story because they wussed them down big time towards the end.
I don't remember what they're called, but the ones from they're like the 2D monsters. The one from the
From Flatline.
Oh, Flatline.
Oh yeah, that was superb.
Yeah, that was
man. I love that episode.
I'd like to see more of those.
And I say this every time one of his episodes get brought up, but Jamie Matheson gets my vote for next showrunner.
Right?
Yeah.
Wait. They're good friends again.
They're BFFs.
Yay!
It, you know, when we cut each other off, it never takes long before we come running back to each other.
Man, I watched, after the newest season of Doctor Who ended, I watched Frequently Asked Questions about Time Travel, which is written by Jamie Matheson.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, what could have been? What could have been?
Right. He's such a great guy. Such a good writer.
And it's funny because any fault I have with this last season of Doctor Who, I do not blame it on the Doctor herself at all.
No.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, no, no, no. She was great.
I think she is phenomenal. I think
that's true of any of the eras, really. Yeah.
I totally agreed.
There's times where, you know, we've watched some classic Who stuff, and I must admit, sometimes I just have to, you know, grin and bear it. But I don't fault the actors because they're all like pretty amazing.
I don't know if you've seen this thing that's been going around on Facebook for the last 3 or so weeks. It's a thing where you can like use pictures to do rankings of, you know, your favorite whatevers. So, you know, your favorite Bowie albums or your favorite whatevers, you know, and you use like the album cover art to like rank them in 5 different tiers, basically. Tier maker, that's what it's called. And so if I were doing a tier maker to, you know, rank my favorite doctors, it would basically be 5 tiers. The top tier would have 13 pictures across the top and there would be anything in the others because I think every doctor has been.
Oh, well, you're cutting out the word doctor.
Every doctor has been perfect.
You're cutting out the war doctor there.
Yeah, but he doesn't have his own episodes. He's not the doctor. He's not the star of the show. He's a guest star. So there you go.
He does have some big finishes.
We have 13. Okay, that's true.
But we haven't been, included
what about Peter Cushing
in this, though.
Peter Cushing doesn't count.
No, he doesn't.
What about, what's his face? Richard E. Grant.
Nope.
Oh, no.
No.
Nor does Joanne Lumley, so just stop it right there. I'm just gonna cut that head off before it even rears up again.
What about Tim?
Oh,
two?
Gosh. No. Oh, that was the dumbest idea. Sure was. Oh, my God.
Have you read the writer's tale book by RTD? And yeah. He's like, there's a point in that book where he's like, oh, no, I've messed up. This is a bad idea. And the guy that he's been corresponding with is like, no, I think it actually really works. And it's like symbolic of this. And it's really great. And I'm like, dude, you talked him back into that terrible plot line.
Oh boy. Okay. We're losing it on this one. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we lost topic, I think, after I said hello to everybody.
Oh, there you go. Okay. But so new series monsters that could or should come back. We've got the Ood and the Angels, and we have the Jadoon coming back in the coming season.
I'm a big fan of the cat.
I don't know. They're,
yeah, I mean, they're not terrifying, but I do like them, and I miss them, so.
Yeah.
As long as we don't get Cassandra with it, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Right. We don't. Agreed.
Moisturize me.
What the monsters called in Flatland? That's bugging me now.
Well, the doctor named them the Boneless.
The Boneless. That was it. Yes.
We never found out what they're actually called or anything like that, but he... Yeah,
they probably didn't call themselves that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in Galaxy 4, she just called them Chumblies, and then everybody was like, yeah, they're Chumblies. So...
Right. Right.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's funny how those things catch on.
Wow. Okay. Well, we want to hear from you guys at home. Please definitely, you know, what monsters would you like to see come back? Would you want to see, you know, does Doctor every single story need like alien monsters or such in the stories? You know, please let us know. Write us at eswpodcast@gmail.com. All right. Let's thank everyone for being here this evening and taking part in the interesting discussions. Alan, thank you so, so much.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
And before we go any further, I want to thank you for everything through Hulanta and earlier Timegate. It was just awesome for you including us in the shows and giving us a chance to do panels and interviews and just participate.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
It means a ton to us. And from myself, Mike, and Mary, it was awesome. And we felt like we all grew together, and it was just awesome.
Cool. I'm glad to hear that.
And anytime, anywhere, you have us if you need us.
Thanks.
And of course, Joe, thank you so much.
That's all I get? Damn.
Thanks for being part of the network, Joe. We couldn't have done it without you.
No problem.
We worked and Tony do such great work week after week. Exactly.
Is that finally
the recognition I deserve? Thanks for having me on. It's always fun to hang out with you guys.
Should we just call you the linchpin of the ESO network?
Oh yeah.
Fine. Okay. Thank you so much. You want to promote the podcast real quick?
Oh yeah. If you like my rambling, you can hear me ramble and my wife ramble on the Watchathon of Rassilon, which is also a part of the ESO network.
Yay!
So check that out.
It is awesome.
Alan's on it sometimes. Mike Gordon's on it.
Yes, I am. I love it.
Always a good time. Always fun.
Yeah, my invite gets always lost in the mail. That's okay.
I invited you to the group. You can be on whatever you want to be on, except some of them.
Let's see. Okay.
Yeah. Except the ones that I'm on, because I haven't written in my guest contract yet.
Yeah, and you get all the green M&Ms.
Ooh, okay, fine. We're going to have to discuss what I just said about you earlier. Let's thank our regulars, of course. Mary, thank you.
Oh, thank you. This was a really great discussion, though I think, now that I think about it, we weren't, I'm not sure it was about monsters at all. I think we were just all arguing to have better writing all around.
And I see no problem at all with that. No, definitely. Do you want to promote your website?
You can find my artwork at mariogle.com or on Etsy under eVision Arts.
And Mike Gordon.
As always, it's my pleasure. Yes, we're arguing for more better writing, less Graham.
I can't argue with that at all.
You're alone in the less Graham thing. I'm a fan of Graham.
I'm a fan of Graham too, but it, like, he just sort of eclipsed a lot of the show.
Yeah.
He sometimes got things that should have went to other people, I feel like.
Nope, totally.
Especially
agree.
In the Punjab one, because yes. Like that should have went to Yaz, not him.
Yeah. You know, that episode was supposed to be specifically about Yaz and her family, and Graham jumped in, you know.
I didn't mean to make this big thing. So we've already beat this Graham horse into it.
We're just getting a jump on next week's episode.
And speaking of next week's episode, it's the all Graham episode.
You know, I'm here for that.
It's called A Love Affair to Graham. No, just kidding. So no, we are actually going back to the Third Doctor era next week, and we are going to be looking at the Silurians. So it should be a lot of fun, and it'd be cool to finally have an episode that Mike can watch on BritBox. So it's awesome. And
I've seen plenty of on BritBox. It just was last time.
So it's going to be cool to see, you know, the Doctor exploring, and it's the first appearance of the Silurians. And man, do they look different than, you know, Madame Vastra. So it's awesome.
Getting my hopes up.
Exactly. She's evolved, more evolved of a creature. So it should be fun. Can't wait to talk to everybody then. We will see you next time here on the Earth Station Who podcast. Peace. And we're done.
Woo! Woo!
Next.
Yay. Hey.
You have been listening to Earth Station Who, a bi-weekly pop culture podcast dedicated to all things Doctor Who, featuring talents from across the universe. All topics on the show are the sole opinions of the individual and are used for entertainment value alone. You can subscribe to our podcast up on iTunes, Stitcher, or follow our blog at www.esopodcast.com. You can also follow us up on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+. If you enjoyed the show, please leave feedback up on iTunes.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.